From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. We, of course, always start off with announcements. Winnebago County, Rockford, Illinois, that's it. Rockford, Illinois, the Ditzler's property is still in imminent danger of destruction. This is the Kent Creek property that Uncle Dennis has been telling you about for, I guess it's been about a month now. Here's the announcement. Tom and Jan Ditzler's property contains wetlands, woodland, and ancient Indian burial mounds. Winnebago County wants to quick take 9.4 acres, cut down the trees, put the creek into a pipe, and fill in the wetlands to build an unnecessary road. Even though the quick take bill was vetoed by Governor Ryan and the Ditzlers are still waiting for their day in court, the county continues its destruction. The Ditzlers invite you to visit their land, meet some of the plants and animals who live there, and honor the sacred burial grounds of Native American ancestors. This may be your last chance to encounter a precious natural wonder before it is stolen and destroyed. That's this coming weekend, Saturday, August 12th from 3 to 6 p.m. and August 13th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to get to the Ditzlers on Cunningham Road between Pierpoint and U.S. 20 Bypass in Rockford, Illinois. Take exit 20 at Montague, northeast to Pierpoint and north to Cunningham, and then turn left. Once again, between Pierpoint and the U.S. 20 Bypass in Rockford, Illinois, take exit 20 at Montague, northeast to Pierpoint, north to Cunningham, and turn left to the Ditzlers property. I'm sure you'll figure out where that is. 3 p.m. on Saturday, 11 a.m. on Sunday, they'll have guided nature walks learning about the wetlands ecosystem and see the results of the chainsaw massacre. 4 p.m. or on Saturday or 12 a.m. on noon, honor the mounds ceremony. And at 5 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday will be live music for an hour. If you want more information, call Jesse Crow, 815-332-7044. That's 815-332-7044. Or you can send email to wetlandwarrior@hotmail.com. That's wetlandwarrior@hotmail.com. Also coming up in California is the Coastal Protection Music Festival. It's being held in the field behind the San Gregorio General Store, sort of halfway between Santa Cruz, California and San Francisco, just off of Highway 1 on Highway 84. It says a mile from the San Mateo coast. Tickets are at the door or can be purchased online at www.izart.com. All proceeds benefit environmental protection projects on the California coast. Saturday, David Lindley, Wally Ingram, John Trudell and Bad Dog, Calvin McElroy and Bubble Off Plum, Caesar Miles and The Dreaded Truth, 42 Harmony Grits and Rebecca Jacquois, or Huacqua, I don't know. Sunday, box set duo, Austin Willisey, The Flying Other Brothers, DM Amphibians, Rory McNamara, Jay Howlett, David Gans, and This Way Up. If you'd like more information about the Coastal Protection Music Festival this coming weekend, August 12th and 13th in San Gregorio, California, starts at 11, runs till sundown, call 650-726-2499. That's 650-726-2499. And Uncle Dennis will be there on Saturday. Also coming up is Soul Fest 2000, located in the Real Good Solar Living Center in Hopland, California, August 26th and 27th. Admission costs some money, but they'll have workshops of all kinds of crazy stuff. Soul Horizons, Space Breakdancers, all kinds of crazy stuff. Michael Ferrante and Spearhead, Fridays Circus, all kinds of crazy stuff. Once again, August 26th and 27th in Hopland, California, Soul Fest 2000. It's a small town. You'll find it. This Sunday in Portland, Oregon, go take a hike with Bark. They meet at 9 a.m. at the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne and 40th in Portland, Oregon. They'll carpool from there. This month's field trip will be to the South Fork of the Clackamas and the Memelouse watersheds. We will look at some of the past destruction caused by BLM and Forest Service in the South Fork drainage and look at a small portion of the Forest Service planned Oscar timber sale, which straddles both watersheds. Then we'll hike through beautiful, intact old growth to Memelouse Lake. Once again, this Sunday, August 13th, 9 a.m. at the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne and 40th for the carpool, the Bark hike. Also coming up in August 14th is a Monday. It's a rally for old growth protection at the Terry Shrunk Plaza. That's 1220 Southwest 3rd Street in downtown Portland. There'll be a rally for old growth protection at noon on Monday, August 14th. Across from the Federal Building in downtown Portland, speakers, music, informational tables. Starts at noon. Be there. Sponsored by American Lands, Oregon Sierra Club, Oregon Wildlife Federation, Oregon Natural Resources Council, and others. More information, call Aaron at 503-283-6343. That's 503-283-6343, extension 224. Wilderness environmental assessment comments due August 16th. In the Mount Hood National Forest is doing an environmental assessment of three wilderness areas on Mount Hood, the Salmon Huckleberry, the Mount Hood, and the Columbia, also called Hatfield by the U.S. Forest Service. A few reasons to care about this issue. The plan is based on serious concern of overuse of wilderness areas, could result in a good overall plan for recreation on Mount Hood, but the Forest Service cannot look at the wilderness areas without considering the entire forest, since activities outside the area, such as logging, road building, and trails destruction, have an enormous impact on wilderness area use. Anyway, written comments, once again, are due by August 16th. Write to Gary Larson, Mount Hood Forest Supervisor, 16400 Champion Way, Sandy, Oregon, 97055. Once again, Gary Larson, Mount Hood Forest Supervisor, 16400 Champion Way, Sandy, Oregon, 97055. If you want to look at the environmental assessment, it's at www.fs.fed.us/r6/MT Hood, as in Mount Hood. Once again, www.fs.fed.us/r6/Mount Hood. All one word, no period in the middle of that. And that's the environmental assessment for the wilderness areas. Get it in. Day of Action Against Monsanto, August 18th in St. Louis. A whole bunch of speakers. There's going to be a teach-in at the Gateway Green Center at 9 a.m., 6101 Del Mar Avenue in St. Louis. The noon rally is at the headquarters for Monsanto. Doesn't have an address for that, but I suppose everyone in St. Louis knows where the Monsanto headquarters are. 2:30, a rally at Senator Kit Bond's office, Bonham and Hanley and Clayton. And at 8 o'clock is a benefit concert to be announced. Well, they didn't announce it to me, so I can't tell you where it is. If you'd like more information, here's a phone number, 314-721-3192. That's 314-721-3192 for more information about the Day of Action Against Monsanto, August 18th, St. Louis, Mo. Trying to find Diane Patterson concert? Well, August 18th and is a Friday at the Berkeley Ecology Center. Big Mountain presentation with songs from Diane, a slideshow, and speakers. The Berkeley Ecology Center is at 2530 San Pablo Avenue in Berkeley, California. If you'd like more information, contact them at 510-548-3333. Once again, let me try it again, 510-548-3333. And on Saturday, August 19th, Diane Patterson will be performing at the Fox and Goose in Sacramento, California, 10th and R Street in downtown Sacramento. Circle Diane, Kelly Conway, Joan Hawkins, and more, it says. For more info, 916-992-6843. That's 916-992-6843. And she has other dates coming up in September. I'll let you know about them about then later. An exciting event taking place Saturday, August 26th, is the Genetic Engineering and the Future of Food, a day of education and action in San Francisco, California. Once again, August 26th. It's taking place at the Women's Building, 3543 18th Street in the Mission District of San Francisco. Once again, it's from 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Women's Building, 3543 18th Street between Valencia and Guerrero in the Mission District of San Francisco. A lot of good speakers. That's the Genetic Engineering and the Future of Food, August 26th. All right, here's a chance to support the proposed Marine Reserve. That's a shrimp closure in Texas. Please write or email Governor George W. Bush, even if you have written or emailed him before, and a copy to the chairman of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission, deadline August 31st. Tell them you support the closing of the South Texas coast to shrimp trawling as a key element of a revised shrimp management regulations, and create a Kemp's Ridley Marine Reserve. Governor Bush needs to have his environmental acumen kind of enhanced. Here's the address: George W. Bush, Governor, Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, 12428, Austin, Texas 78711. Once again, that's Governor George Bush, Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, Austin, Texas 78711. And the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission is the Honorable Lee Marshall Bass, Parks and Wildlife Commission, 201 Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas 76102. Once again, the address: the Honorable Lee Marshall Bass, Chairman of the Parks and Wildlife Commission, 201 Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas 76102. If you'd like more information, contact the Sea Turtle Restoration Project, www.seaturtles.org, or their phone number, 415-488-0370. That's 415-488-0370. Calls are needed to stop road building in the Minnesota roadless area. There was a massive storm, July 4th of last year in the Superior National Forest in Minnesota. Public hearings, Forest Service proposals, and one of the areas is the Little East Creek roadless area, about 15,000 acres next to a wilderness. Please call or email Chief Dombeck of the United States Forest Service. His phone is 202-205-1661. That's 202-205-1661. Or you can send email to M. Dombeck, MDOMBECK at fs.fed.us. That's MDOMBECK at fs.fed.us. Some points to raise are: Little East Creek is an isolated area adjacent to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The proposed project would expand the roads in the area approximately double. More than double, actually. Emergency grants are not needed. Canadian Lynx will be significantly affected. So if you want more information, contact Lois. Her number, 952-881-7282. That's 952-881-7282 for more information. And calls are needed to stop the fee demo extension. A rider in the Senate Interior Appropriations Bill would extend the Recreational Fee Demonstration Program, also known as fee demo, for another year to the year 2002. We've got to get rid of this dog, folks. Recreational fees, parking fees in forest areas, you don't want that, do you? 37 congressional representatives have signed a letter against extending fee demo. Please call or write your representative or senator right now and urge them to remove the fee demo extension rider from the Interior Appropriations Bill. If your representative or senator is on a conference committee, it's particularly important to contact him or her. The conference committee includes Senators Stevens, Cochran, Domenici, Burns, Bennett, Gregg, Campbell, Byrd, Leahy, Hollings, Reed, Dorgan, Cole, Feinstein, and from Congress, Representatives Regula, Colby, Skeen, Taylor, Nethercutt, Wamp, King, Peterson, Young, Dix, Mirtha, Morin, Kramer, Hinchley, and Obey. Tell them that to can fee demo, you don't want any writer to extend it. If you want more information about the fee demo writer, contact Melanie of American Lands at 202-547-9267. That's 202-547-9267. And I'm sure they'll give you more information. Let's get into activist news here. Greenpeace activists occupied the control center of British Petroleum's controversial North Star development as it was being transported by barge to a construction site off the first offshore oil installation in the Arctic Ocean. If oil drilling from BP's North Star project is allowed to go ahead, it will fuel the dangerous problem of global warming, already causing severe meltdown in the Arctic, Greenland, and in the Antarctic. North Star will also pave the way for further offshore oil expansion in the vulnerable Arctic Ocean. Activists from the Greenpeace ship MV Arctic Sunrise occupied the 130-meter sea barge just after midnight local time. They plan to set up a campaign and communication center, which will be powered by solar and wind energy, inside BP's control room and accommodation block. Stephanie Tunmore, one of the activists occupying the barge, said, BP must turn this barge around. The costs of continuing the North Star far outweigh the costs of stopping it now. The Arctic is heating up faster than anywhere else on the planet, and polar bears and walrus are showing signs of starvation as sea ice on which they depend melts away. Received news tonight that 39 hours later, the Alaskan authorities removed the Greenpeace people from that barge, and it continued on its way north. A message from Wisconsin. The Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining wants to send a message to people concerned about sulfide mining in Wisconsin. You are invited to join the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining. The recent cyanide disasters at mines in Europe prompted groups in Wisconsin to call for a ban on cyanide in mining in February of 2000. Legislation will be introduced in an upcoming legislative session. Like the mining moratorium campaign, the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide will ask candidates to pledge their support and ask groups and local governments to pass resolutions supporting a ban on cyanide mining. If your group would like to be listed as part of the campaign, contact Wisconsin Campaign to Ban Cyanide in Mining. Care, this is part of the Wolf Watershed Education Project, care of Midwest Treaty Network, 731 State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Once again, that address, it's a long one. Wisconsin Campaign to Ban Cyanide in Mining, Wolf Watershed Educational Project, care of Midwest Treaty Network, 731 State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Their hotline, 800-445-8615. That's 800-445-8615. Or email to mountain@igc.org. That's mtn@igc.org. Action alert! Join us to save the Slocan. Arrgh! Help! The foul and heinous villains are hell-bent on the destruction of our watershed via quasi-clearcutting, also known as group retention. It's not clearcutting? We are at a pivotal point in our struggle. Road building is in progress. If it continues, they will have access enough to timber to finance the completion of the road system throughout the entire valley. The company Slocan Forest Products is logging our creeks, even though 90% of the valley residents oppose them. Headquartered in Richmond, British Columbia, not in the Slocan, they are the second largest logging corporation in the British Columbian province of Canada. They have resorted to underhanded bribery, promising the next town down the valley a rec center built from wood from our watershed. SFP's slogan, 22 years and we've only just begun, illustrates their plan to use the example of our creeks and forests to catalyze the destruction of the entire Slocan Valley. For the past few years, residents have tried mass arrests on the road, lockdowns, and most recently a tree sit and a sleeping dragon. This is the make-or-break summer. Roadblocks, actions, and outreach are happening constantly, like right now. We drink straight from the creeks up here. This road building and the logging that follows will irreparably damage our water supply, as well as irreplaceable habitat for wolverines, cougars, lynx, black bears, grizzly bears, the white black bear, mountain caribou, and lots of other charismatic megafauna. We've got more eagles than you can shake a stick at, and 100% more ospreys than cops. We are surrounded by beautiful, healthy, old, and second-growth forest. This is big wilderness that Slocan Forest Products is determined to possess. Nestled between the Valhalla and Purcell Mountains, this is the interior temperate rainforest, blah, 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 blah. Fighting for 20 years, we're activists who worked on many campaigns all over North America, and now we're fighting in our own backyards. All of you who've sent out calls for action that we've answered, we need your help now. For more info, check out the website, www.watertalk.org. That's www.watertalk.org and click on EACT or call us 1-888-7-WATER-1. That's 1-888-7-WATER-1. Yes, it's toll-free. And for those of you who don't want all those letters in there, it's 1-888-792-8371. 888-792-8371. Give them a call. Get your butt up to Canada while it's still sunny up there. Sea Shepherd International is offering $2,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the death of the baby beluga whale found shot to death near Point Campbell on July 23rd. I believe this is in Washington. The 6-foot whale was about Point Campbell, Alaska. I'm sorry, Uncle Dennis will find these things in this thing here somewhere. The 6-foot whale was about a month old and may have been part of the threatened Cook Inlet subspecies, whose population has plummeted 50% in the last 6 years. It had been shot twice. Agents of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration are still investigating reports of a beluga shooting incident in the area last May. The $20,000 fine and a year in jail waiting the perpetrator does not begin to compensate for this act, but it will have to do, said Sea Shepherd President Paul Watson. For many people, 10 times that much would not be punishment enough for taking the life of this one baby whale. For possibly bringing an entire species closer to extinction, no punishment is conceivable. The Sea Shepherd's reward is in addition to a $500 reward being offered by the Alaska Audubon Society and a $2,500 reward being offered by the federal government. Anyone with information on the shooting of the beluga whale is invited to call Sea Shepherd Society. Their number 360-370-5500. That's 360-370-5500. Once again, the total of the rewards is $5,000. And if you live near Point Campbell, Alaska, that might just be a little more than chump change. And more news from Alaska. A jury in Tok, Alaska, that's T-O-K, has ordered Gordon Haber, a wildlife biologist, to pay nearly $40,000 and Friends of the Animals to pay $150,000 to Eugene Johnson for releasing a live wolf from the trapper's snare. Haber and the group may appeal the decision, as the jurors were all from Tok, a trapping community. Friends of the Animals has funded Haber as an independent research scientist and paid Haber's legal fees for the trial. Haber claims Johnson was operating illegally since the trapping site was littered with dead caribou caught in his snares. Government researchers have found the world's largest known fungus lurking under the soils of eastern Oregon. The organism covers 2,400 acres, equivalent to 1,665 football fields, roughly 4 square miles, according to the U.S. Forest Service news release, a humongous fungus. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the area of critical habitat designated for the endangered Cape Sable Seaside Sparrow of South Florida may have to be revised. The Biodiversity Legal Foundation has filed a legal petition with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service contending the current 190,000 acres of critical habitat is now inadequate. The petition asks that state-managed and private agricultural areas which have been degraded over the past 20 years be removed from critical habitat designation and federal lands west of the Shark River Slough that were once occupied by the western subpopulation of the sparrow be added to the designation. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is conducting a full review of the critical habitat designation and seeking additional data, comments, and suggestions from members of the public concerned, government agencies, and scientific community, industries, and other interested parties. If you know anything about the Cape Sable Seaside Sparrow in the Everglades region of Dade and Moreau counties in Florida, send your comments to Field Supervisor, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, South Florida Field Office, 1360 U.S. Highway 1, Suite 5, Vero Beach, Florida, 32961. Didn't catch that. Here it is again. Field Supervisor, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, South Florida Field Office, 1360 U.S. Highway 1, Suite 5, Vero Beach, Florida, 32961. And here we go. Stop the Namibian madmen. Stop any tourism. Stop any aid. The Namibian government said yesterday it will cull or kill 67,000 seals this year, its biggest annual quota in 6 years. The kill, which the government says is to preserve fish stocks, is likely to be fiercely opposed by wildlife organizations who protest against the clubbing deaths. The seal harvest started August 1st and will run through 15th of November and provides for 60,000 pups and 7,000 bulls to be harvested, the Information Ministry said in a statement. As in the past, the Wildlife Society of Namibia will be allowed to attend the harvest as observers, it added. The quota is almost double the 35,000 seals killed last year, and the government has given four companies concessions for the forest up from, for the harvest up from two last year. But here's some good news, maybe. Sitka District Ranger Jim Franzel has announced that he is closing the federal freshwater sockeye subsistence fishery at Alaska's Redoubt Lake due to very low numbers of the fish. The closure took place August 1st and will continue through August 31st, and a sockeye salmon caught by accident must be returned to the water unharmed. Sockeye salmon returns through a weir at Redoubt Lake have been monitored since June 10th. The total return to date is 380 sockeye fish, about 15 to 20% of the run normally has returned, projected to be 2,300 fish. That's 6% of the average return of 36,000 fish between 1989 and 1999. And on the East Coast, new regulations restricting longline fishing could dramatically reduce the number of undersized swordfish, billfish, and other species caught and killed accidentally. An announcement by the National Marine Fisheries Service was applauded by environmental groups who promised to suspend their campaign against the purchase of swordfish. I don't know why they do that. The new rules from the National Marine Fisheries Service prohibit fishing in the open ocean with long-line gear in certain areas and times from the east coast of Florida to North Carolina and in the Gulf of Mexico. The regulation also bans fishing with live bait in the Gulf of Mexico. The rule target areas where smaller fish do not meet size requirements for legal landing are most often found. If you want to know what the rules are, they can be found at www.nmfs.noaa.gov. I think that's G-O-V, /sfa/hmspg.html. Once again, that's www.nationalmarinefisheriesservice, NMFS.NOAA.gov/sfa/hmspg.html. And we've run out of time here, and we'll be back with the second half of the show in just a few minutes.
I went into the new Greenpeace store in the mall in Beverly Hills and asked if I could buy a little piece of nature that I could put in the corner of my living room. And guests could come out and pick it up and look at it and ask me where I got it. But it was not on sale because it was the last one, and it was kind of expensive, and the employee almost looked as if he would miss it. Apparently it was out of stock for good, and all the people in the store looked at me with big eyes as if I had just burned down their house or something. So I had the last piece of nature. It's not like they couldn't make more. Obviously they'd been selling well. The market was there. If Greenpeace stopped making these things, someone would jump on it and make big bucks. But as I was leaving, a pack of bears, beavers, mountain lions, deers, and all kinds of fuzzy creatures stormed into the store. The assistant manager yelled, "There are no animals allowed in the store." But two bears went straight for the cash register and ran off. I was shocked that anyone could steal from Greenpeace. How are they going to save the environment without money? The animals caused total havoc, running around the store and knocking things over. The minimum wage paid employees said, "Fuck this," and got the hell out of there. It was just an after-school job anyways, but the management was stuck there. This was how they were making a living. They called security, who didn't know what to do, and called the police. The two bears with the cash register got run over by a car on their way home and were some pretty scary, weird-looking highway roadkill. The police saw the animals causing chaos and the managers hidden behind the Nature's Cosmetics display and opened fire and killed all the animals, which was police policy in the case of animals attacking humans. It was a big mess, but the story got in the newspaper and lots of people came down to the Greenpeace store and bought stuff faster than they could restock the shelves. Thank you very much. That's it.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.